Worcester Culture Watch, a podcast connecting you with the local culture scene in Worcester. Arts, entertainment, music, and more.
Worcester Culture Watch from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Hello and welcome to Worcester Culture Watch. I'm Victor Infante, entertainment editor for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, and the content editor for Worcester Magazine, and the ninja editor for Bay State Parent. I don't know. I'm going to have another title next week, I'm sure. Welcome to the beautiful and glorious age of media consolidation.
Right.
I am here in the makeshift studio with Bill Shaner, reporter for Worcester Magazine. Hi, yes. Bill.
Hi. How are you?
Good. We are actually sharing this studio with the photo department studio. So this is the smallest mixed-use space, I think, in the city.
Oh, yeah. It's it fits right in with the whole, you know, media consolidation talk.
Definitely.
We've consolidated the podcast studio,
but yeah, fine. But you know, as I think we said last week, it's what you do with it that ultimately that counts. That's what the reader counts to the readers.
Yeah,
and I gotta say, with the last two issues of Worcester Magazine, I know I'm biased, but I think we've done pretty good with.
No, I know. I think they've been very strong issues, and you know, we've been handling the transition better than I thought we would, which is nice.
Yeah,
we haven't had. We were anticipating a lot of flubs, and there's limited flubs, so I'm happy about that.
There have been growing pains, and there have been bumps and bruises along the way, but I think ultimately when you're working with good people, and I am referring specifically to the people that work at Worcester Magazine and work at the Telegram and Gazette, we'll leave out the corporate world up beyond
right,
that.
Right.
We're talking this particular newsroom.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're working with
professionals. This is our product, not theirs anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. And to their credit, nobody actually comes in and tells us to do anything.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so there is that, which is nice.
So I'm just like a landlord.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, you know, we have done the people that have worked on these two issues, I cannot sing their praises high enough. The freelancers have stepped up. Everybody has done a great job. And for all those who thought there was going to be no substance and only arts in Worcester Magazine from here on out.
Yeah, I would point you to this week's cover story, a very substantive and sort of critical take on the way that recreational marijuana has been handled in Worcester.
Definitely.
I think that that's something that, you know, there's been a lot of reporting surface level on the issue, and you know that the city's going to get pot shops and this is the first pot shop, but there hasn't been much reporting on, you know, policy. And I really like that this cover story, which is a collaboration with the Boston Institute of Nonprofit Journalism, really sort of digs into that element of it. And I think that for people who are interested in this new industry and interested in the way that you know, like weed culture is going to get legalized, then this is a story for them.
Yeah, and I think what's really interesting, and the reporter that wrote this, Carolyn Broderick, she really strikes that the people that have succeeded are the ones that have been clever.
Right.
They have really looked at the system and worked out how to move forward and not just depended on anybody to help them.
Right.
Because I was thinking about this as I was reading the story again this morning. It's really easy to open a bar.
Yeah.
And bars are really dangerous when you get right down to it.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, I love that they make the case that you either have to be smart or loaded.
Yes.
And in Massachusetts, it's mostly just people who are loaded, who are coming in with like venture capital money from Colorado or wherever. They've already made their fortune off of it, and now they're like just expanding their empire, basically. And for people who are trying to do it, you know, in any sort of entrepreneurial way, man, I would not be enthusiastic about pursuing it. It's just tough.
No. Yeah. And the Summit Lounge and Cal Moon and the people involved with that were clever.
Right.
They found a way in that was different than yeah. most people were expecting.
Yeah.
And that's actually been kind of a boon to the city, that place.
I mean, there's
been a great comedy show coming out of there and some other great things. I mean, it's got a following.
When that happened, I was much more of a City Hall beat reporter than I am now with this new Worcester Magazine, and watching the way that he, I'll use the word, trolled the city hall. Like, they were all so irate that he just pulled a fast one on him, but he did it smart. And it was literally just like their regulations said, a private smoking lounge, but it didn't say what you were smoking. So he was like, yeah, I'm opening a private smoking lounge.
I thought it was hilarious at the time, and I'm actually glad he succeeded. If I had the one person in this story I actually want to know more about, and there's plenty in here, but the prospective owner of New Dia, a potential recreational dispensary in South Worcester, Ross Bradshaw. I thought he was fascinating, and I think I'm looking forward to seeing his story unfold a bit more.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see whether or not this story will put a bug in anybody's head in City Hall that this 15 shop cap is not in the city's best interest.
I
don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. They have a small C conservative streak. They are normal in mid-sized city politicians.
Right, right.
That's not, I wouldn't say they're exceptional in any manner on that.
They're more concerned about where they're going. I guess that they're probably all promising they're more conservative constituents that, we're going to make sure that we don't get all the pot shops in District 5 or in District 3 or in District 1. So I think that as long as you can make the case that they won't get any more than anywhere else in the city, they'll be fine with it.
Yes, but I have enjoyed seeing middle class folks of my acquaintance who going, oh, I'm on my way to good chemistry.
Yeah, right, right.
It's just become natural.
Yeah, right.
But okay, a couple other things in this story. Your Wisteria column.
The
great revelation that Pawtucket is the new Miami Beach.
Oh, man. I just love, Wisteria is the perfect space to discuss the way that Worcester gets treated in the wider media. And this wasn't the Boston Globe's fault. If I was the reporter, I would have printed this quote a million times over. But they sent a reporter down to Pawtucket on the occasion of the Woo Sox groundbreaking to ask the Pawtucket Red Sox fans how they feel about it. And one guy, so salty, so bitter, he goes, Pawtucket is like Miami Beach compared to Worcester, which is just the best quote ever.
It really is. Now, being familiar with the greater Providence area and Pawtucket, haven't spent a whole lot of time there. I've only maybe once, but I found that people from Pawtucket don't drive this far away very often.
No.
I have a friend whose mother-in-law, she moved from North Providence to, I believe North Providence to Worcester, which isn't that far of a drive. It's like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And she'd go back to visit and her relatives would be like, oh, are you spending the night?
Oh, it's more than 50 minutes away. I don't know. You should get a hotel.
I've always loved that about Rhode Island. So, yeah. So I can
That's funny. I wonder what he has in his brain when he thinks about Worcester.
I don't know.
Looks like Fritz the Cat or something.
I know. It probably has not been here in a long, long time.
Yeah, right, right. And I just love, why Miami Beach? Like, it's not like he was like the south of France or like Paris or something like that. He chose something that neither of them are. Pawtucket is no more like Miami Beach than Worcester is.
It is in one way, which
it's landlocked. It's a triple decker city.
I lived in Pompano Beach when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Very briefly. And the one way it is in that Pawtucket and Miami are similar is that they are both unlivable.
There we go.
I think
the rest of that column is just city, the usual city politics,
Yes.
If you know it, you know it.
No, I think the rundown actually on how much money people are making, that's a fact that's...
It doesn't really get reported, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
The fact that Mo Bergman is outraising everybody right now by almost threefold is significant.
I think that's really significant.
It might just be a weird quirk of like they have to report every couple of weeks, so it's possible that this was just a good week for him. But it is interesting. So we're going to see I mean, it's an interesting race this year. There's like 20 candidates. So.
And Gary Rosen with his $64.
I know. I love it.
Yeah, he'll probably win too.
Yep.
But all right. And last thing I wanted to go over in this issue before we go touch on some of the art stuff.
Yeah.
The Worcester Skate Camp.
Yeah, the Skate Camp is part of Rec Worcester. Was really cool. I went over there on Tuesday for the first day, and there were like, there were probably about 20, 30 kids. They actually like ran out of skateboards and helmets for kids. So they had to break the day up. I know that when I talked to them earlier, they were like nervous that anybody was going to come out. But as soon as they saw that they were skateboarding, all the kids were lining up like, ooh, I want to try. So, it was really, really cool. It was probably 5 or 6 volunteers who were just like going back and forth with everybody in the Beaver Brook. What is it, like the ice hockey rink?
Yeah, it's an ice hockey rink
and or a street hockey rink rather.
Yeah,
and they were just like helping them like skate. Like they were like, oh yeah, you got to put your front foot sideways and push with your back foot and all this really basic stuff. And they were like holding their hands like little 8-year olds as they're trying to like push off for the first time. A lot of little kids falling, but they're gonna do this for 4 weeks, twice a week. And by the end of it, they'll probably get a lot of these kids like interested in skating as a hobby. So
yeah,
that's sort of the goal.
And if you haven't done so yet, look at the photo gallery on telegram.com. I think it's also on worcestermag.com now.
Yeah.
Mostly photos by Ashley Green, a couple by you. Mm-hmm. But the photos are just adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely adorable.
I remember when I was there, I was like, you got to get a photographer over here. It's photo gold. Like, they're just like so cute. Just kids like, I mean, kids trying to skateboard and getting helped. I mean, it's just like, it's perfect.
I think I've owned 3 skateboards when I was younger, and yeah. I was terrible at it.
Oh, me too.
I kept thinking that buying a new skateboard would solve the problem, and it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I never got past the entry level.
Yeah.
I was like, I would like try to ollie and couldn't, and I'd just be like, whatever.
No, that didn't work. I had the same problem surfing, to tell the truth. I could never do it.
Yeah.
Ah, God. Also, that being said, you know, there was this weird concern, and I kind of want to break down this concern a little bit. Mm-hmm. Worcester Magazine's only going to be covering the arts, and my first response is, well, we're going to be covering the arts.
Yeah.
We've always been covering the arts.
We always have been covering the arts, right.
I don't so much object to the idea that Worcester Magazine would be doing it exclusively, even though that was unfounded.
Right.
I do dislike the derisiveness some people held that in.
Yeah, Well, I mean, people are just nasty.
Well, they are.
On social media.
There's a few I expected a little better of.
Yeah, right. But I think that, like, obviously, and we've made no bones about it, this new direction is, like, the result of, like, a change that had to be made
mm-hmm.
because of reasons outside of our control. So
exactly.
Now that we're more a product of the Telegram, it doesn't make sense for us to be competing with news stories. Like my story on the city council meeting is more often than not very similar to the one you're going to read from Nicosopolis.
So exactly.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So I think that given our resources, it makes much more sense to make sure that we're sticking to the more of the city life and city culture side of things. But I think these past couple issues have proved that doesn't mean it's not substantive.
Well, I think people have a very binary idea of what culture is.
Right. Yeah,
culture is something other than politics. Culture is something separate from themselves.
Right, right.
And they don't realize always, you know, a lot of people don't understand that culture is actually something they're floating in.
Right.
You know, it's all of the forces that shape how we go about our day.
Right. And I think that this cover story is a really perfect example about how we're going to continue to cover issues relevant to Worcester. Just, you know, this is Kyle Moon's perspective. It's not Connie Luke's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Telegram will get Connie Luke's perspective. I don't think we need to really we're coming at it from a different angle, as we should be.
Yeah, and I like the idea. I like the idea of having the room and the ability to tell people's stories within these forces that shape the city, within the political waves and such.
Yeah,
and
certainly not ignoring it. I mean,
God no.
And I don't think that we're losing much of teeth or anything like that. I think that those people who are making those claims are kind of like reading the headline and not the story.
That is the way of the internet these days.
Right. And but, I would say that if that's your opinion, then you know, you should just read the paper.
I hope they do. Yeah. I hope they do. And the last rumor I'm very happy to put to bed is the weird idea that we have fired Janice Harvey.
Oh,
that went kind of crazy. Janice Harvey, for as long as I can remember, she used to be weekly, I think, but she's been every other week for ages now.
She's been every other week as long as I can remember reading Worcester Magazine. So
in all of the build up to this, we always noted that Janice was going to be one of the, you know, her column would be continuing in it.
Yes.
And then when the first new WOMAG showed up last week, there was a small freak out that Janice wasn't in it. And I'm like, but she was in the week before. And we even in the editorial mention her name that she's still writing for
it.
Oh, goodness.
Still
gracious.
In the masthead, if I'm not
still
mistaken.
Still in the masthead, you know. Yeah,
that's just the kind of, you know, you really can't expect people to, like, read. You know, that, at the end of the day, like, I was trying to put that in a more nuanced way, but like,
no.
Literally, they probably saw one comment that was like, "Where's Janice?" And then, like, the conspiratorial Facebook brain just starts firing, and then it becomes a hive mind. And
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. Watching it in action is spectacular. Well, Janice Harvey is here as long as she wants to be here, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
She is talking about Stephen Miller in her column. So yeah, there's still politics in there.
Yeah,
it's all good. Richard Duckett has a wonderful story about a Worcester woman who's in the national touring company of Evan Hansen. I'm going to be talking to him in a little bit, so maybe we'll pick his brain about that a little.
Right.
And
that was a good one.
Yeah, and I've got a review of Carlos Odria's new CD, El Rio. It is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I find writing about all instrumental albums so hard.
Yeah,
so
right.
Hard.
because like the lyrics are so much easier to write about than the music.
Indeed.
Yeah. I've always run into that problem whenever I've done music, is like writing about the music is just something that you don't really need to write about.
I mean I've been reviewing off and on for 20 something years.
Yeah.
And I think you need the writer needs to make the music convey the feeling of the album of whatever it is they're reviewing.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But from a writing perspective, you can break up your thought by introducing lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Because lyrics are a voice that is not your own.
Right, right.
It's just
right.
Like writing a news story. It's like, okay, I've been describing things for three paragraphs. Now I should really put a quote in here now.
Right, right, right.
I can't really do that with an instrumental album.
True. Yeah. Just put the sheet music in.
I don't know. But Carlos Odria is one of the most talented musicians in Worcester. He really has been.
I don't think I've ever had the fortune of seeing him. I'll have to look for when he plays.
Yeah, he'll be at Nick's on July 27th with the Carlos Odria Trio. That's the official album release for this, for El Rio. Plus, he's just always around. And he's usually big festivals like Start on the Street and stuff, too.
Cool.
So that is the new WOMAG. It is
issue two.
Issue two. We have survived two of these.
I know.
So third time is either the charm or we go down in smoke.
No,
I don't know.
No. I think third time will be the charm. We'll see though.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
I'll be on again in just a second with Richard Duckett. But in the meantime, this is a song by Worcester rock band Thinner.
Why should I pretend when I don't like to? I'm home.
And we're back. You have been listening to the song Ride the High, the Low by Thinner, that you can usually find them playing around town every 4 or 5 months. They don't seem to do as many gigs as I would want them to, but, you know, still one of the best rock bands in town. Anyways, I'm here now with entertainment reporter Richard Duckett. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Victor.
How are we handling the schizophrenia between Worcester Magazine and the Telegram and Gazette?
I think it's working out very well so far.
I think so. I think we're having fun, if nothing else. All right. You have got a wonderful story in today's Worcester Magazine. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, Jessica Phillips, who's a graduate of Worcester Academy and grew up around here in Auburn and later in East Douglas, gone on to establish a very successful career in musical theater and acting. And she's currently in the national tour of Dear Evan Hansen, which is in Boston at the moment. Dear Evan Hansen has really been a blockbuster successful musical.
Indeed.
Since it opened. It won Tonys in 2017. It's still on Broadway, and the national tour has been packing them in everywhere it goes.
Wow. So that's being on that tour is quite an accomplishment.
Yes, it is. It's a musical that resonates with a lot of teenagers. Evan Hansen is a teenager suffering from social anxiety, and the musical touches on themes such as suicide and really social media and how to cope with it with sudden success that you don't really deserve and everything like that. And Evan Hansen's mother is played by Jessica Phillips in the national tour, and it's an important role.
Definitely. Now, that's playing again at Citizens Bank Opera House in Boston, and you can catch that through August 4th?
Right, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking, hopefully I can get a chance to catch it. I have yet to actually see this play, and I really like what I see of it and heard of it.
Yeah, unless you have been able to get down to New York, this is the closest it's come here so far.
Yeah, and I will admit I'm always notoriously bad at being able to make even Broadway touring companies when they come to the Hanover. I try. Okay, but also coming up here in the near future is some news from Music Worcester.
Yes, well, Music Worcester has announced its 2019-20 season. Now, this comes off of the previous season, which was Music Worcester's 160th.
Wow.
And that was a very ambitious season. Included things like Maria Callas in concert, even though she passed away a few years ago. That was a hologram show at the Hanover Theater. It had Simone Dinnerstein as its first artist in residence, a pianist in New York, symphony orchestras, Yo-Yo Ma appearing twice at Mechanics Hall in April. So it was an ambitious season and apparently a very successful one. And doesn't look like Worcester Music Worcester is going to be sitting back and relaxing. The new season looks ambitious as well, and it kicks off on October the 2nd with Audra McDonald, six-time Tony Award winner, which is amazing.
Has a gorgeous voice. Gorgeous voice.
Great voice, and she'll be doing a show with a musical trio, which will be centered around the around Broadway music and the Great American Songbook. So that sounds like it should be a great way to start a season. Then it includes symphony orchestras from Melbourne, Ukraine, and Siberia. That's quite
excellent.
With guest artists, including guest soloists, I mean, including Garrick Olson, pianist, who actually got his start in Worcester many years ago, performing with what is now the Massachusetts Symphony Orchestra. The Dance Theater of Harlem will be here November 15th. Wynton Marsalis will be returning in January. Another orchestra that's very interesting is Vachinnicki, I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly, orchestra from London, England. Now, this is what they call in England a BME orchestra, which in England is a term for black and minority ethnic. And in fact, it's the first European orchestra of its kind.
Interesting.
And they'll be at Mechanics Hall in April. The Worcester Chorus has a full program. Our newsworthy note is that the Worcester Chorus has hired an assistant conductor, Mark Mummett, who, since he came to Worcester in 2016, has been very active. He's a cantor of Trinity Lutheran Church. Yeah, he's formed a choral group called Diamonds from the Dust.
That's
Who have put on some very well-received concerts. And now he's going to be assistant conductor to Chris Shepherd. So that'll be an interesting note to follow. And another newsworthy thing about the Music Worcester schedule is that pianist Inna Falix, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She's an excellent pianist from the Ukraine. She's booked for a concert on March 11th. And where she's booked is the Worcester Black Box Theatre, which hasn't. There's been no announcement that the Black Box Theatre is going to open, or has officially, or has opened, or when it will officially open. But that's an encouraging sign that on the schedule for March 11th, there it is.
Well, let's hope. Fingers crossed. I mean, otherwise, I suppose we'll just be packing people into the pop-up.
Well, it's nearby, so
yeah.
So they'll have to take her, then move the piano up the stairs or something.
Oh, goodness.
Or down the stairs, I should say. But anyway, so it's a full season, and Adrian Finley, the Music Worcester executive director, says he can't wait to see it get started.
Well, I got to say, I'm actually really impressed. This is, you know, yet another really impressive lineup of musicians, and I mean, I think, you know, I will speak for a lot of listeners out there where they might not always recognize the names on a bill. On a Music Worcester program forever. This is names that people will recognize, and these are concepts that people will recognize in some cases. So that's whenever there's a few of those, you know, that's, you can tell why the people get excited about it, you know, especially somebody like Audra McDonald, who of course has had many, many, many TV appearances and is somebody who's recognizable very much. So that's exciting. I'm always excited to see people like that here.
Yes, yes, they've been diversifying their offerings more the last few years. They've had more jazz artists like Wynton Marsalis. In fact, his brother opened, Branford Marsalis, opened the previous season.
Indeed.
There's more dance here than they used to have. And... yeah, yeah. So I think the diversity has proved to be a successful draw.
Definitely, definitely. Well, there we go. I think, anything else you want to share with us here today?
Well, I think that's enough for now.
All right. In that case, this has been Worcester Culture Watch. As always, our theme music was composed by DJ Manipulator. Please listen. If you like what you've heard, please follow our entertainment coverage on telegram.com, worcestermag.com, or in the pages of the Telegram and Gazette and Worcester Magazine. That's way too many things to have to say now at the end of this. I'm just going to find some way to condense this. Anyways, well, hopefully we'll see you next week. Thank you and good night.